So the questioner asked the question regarding that in connection to this hadith. This hadith is related to those who were the friends of Khadija radiallahu anha, and it is known that the friends of Khadija radiallahu anha, that they were pious and righteous and good people. And not to say that they were, you know, that they were completely perfect, because no human is perfect. It's not anyone, no one is ma'asum in that regard. But they were known for piety and goodness and righteousness and good companionship. Then what about, as our brother asked, what if those friends of one's wife, that they are not so good, that they do not give good advice, and they do not direct towards piety, but rather they may even be troublesome, that they may cause harm in the household. And then she claims that these are my friends. Then is it permissible for the husband to prevent her, yani, prevent these people from being friends to one's wife? Then the answer is that the woman herself should realize that from those affairs that make a good marriage and a pious marriage is that a woman does not allow into the house, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, does not allow into the house except the one that her husband is pleased with. And she does not let anyone to sit, does not allow anyone to sit onto the furniture, does not allow anyone to sit on the furniture of the house unless her husband is pleased with that person. If the husband dislikes those people coming, whether it be male or female, whether it be her female friends or even her, from the direction of the in-laws, if the husband is not happy, then that person should not be allowed in the house. And this should be something from the woman herself. She should know that from herself, that this is a command of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the woman that is good to a man is that when he looks at her, she pleases him. When he looks at her, she pleases him. And from those affairs, as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, that she does not allow anyone into the house except that he is pleased with her. So if a woman is a bad companion, then bad companionship, as the Prophet ﷺ said, is like the one who keeps company with the blowers of the bellows of a blacksmith. You know that you... Because the Prophet ﷺ said, of course, in that lengthy hadith, when he said that good companionship and bad companionship is like keeping company with the seller of musk and the blower of the bellows of the blacksmith. So even if you do not purchase anything and he does not give you anything of the perfume, then at least you walk away with a pleasant smell, you know, a pleasant fragrance that you smelled. But as for the one who keeps company with the blower of the bellows, then either he will burn your clothes, or he will harm you, or at the very least, you will walk away with a stench in your nostrils. So good companionship and bad companionship is that similitude. So it is imperative upon the husbands to command their wives to keep good companionship. And it is imperative upon the husbands to prevent bad women from entering the home. They prevent them. Because those bad women, they will damage the household. They will damage the marriage between the husband and wife. They will do the job of shaitan. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, he said that indeed the arsh of Iblis is upon the ocean, And his army or his followers are gathered around him. So he says to one of them, "What did you do?" So he said, "I did such and such, my master. I did such and such and such and such." He said, "You didn't do anything." Then another one calls out and he said, "As for me, I came to a husband and his wife and I did not leave them up until their marriage was destroyed or they were separated one from another." Then Iblis comes off of his throne and he goes to that devil of his, from his followers, and he embraces him. So who is Iblis pleased with? Those who come into our homes, whether it be male or female, whether it be a relative, or whether it be her friend, or even his friend, it doesn't matter. Whoever comes to damage marriages and to damage households, they should not be allowed in the house. So those sisters who the husbands are not happy with, because there is proof, or there is qara'in, meaning that there is evidence that is clear that these women are causing damage, or these so-called friends, you know, between quotation marks, that they are causing damage, or that these qara'in, that whenever they're about in any relationship, that there is some damage that is caused. Wherever they are, problems happen. Wherever they turn up, there's mischief that is made. These types of women, my sisters, keep them at arm's length from your homes. If your husband is not happy with them, keep them at arm's length. Of course, the issue of in-laws is slightly different, because the in-laws are her mother and father, or her brothers and sisters. So with that, you have to be a bit more diplomatic. You have to be diplomatic. So if they are difficult, then you may have to reduce the amount of visits. Or that when you visit, that you make sure that you are there, so they are not filling her head. You know, that they are not confusing her, or that they are not causing mischief amongst your children. Because in-laws can do that. Wallahu musta'an, you know. Even parents can do that. Why? Because they don't have the understanding of the religion that they should have. So they are somewhat misguided. So what does the mother, what does the father do? That you, when you go and visit them, that you take your wife. You say, khalas, we'll go and visit your mother and father. You want to go? Yes, go. No problem. But you go with her. And you stay with her. And if you take in the children, you stay in the house. Why? Because then, if they are mischief makers amongst in-laws, then they are less likely to do it when you're present. So why is it always important to go with your wife? Don't just leave her there for 7 days to come back and you say, I don't know what happened, she changed. Of course, if you leave her in bad company and she's watching, you know, the TV, or this 56-inch plasma is on all day long with movies and music and, I don't know, today's equivalent of MTV. You know, that's all that's playing, and your children are just running around the house and every 10 minutes they're seeing that. What do you expect? She's going to come back changed, and then you have to work for about a month just to bring her back again. Then she says, can we go and see her mum and dad again? She says, I've just taken a month to fix you. Now we're going to go back. This is our fault as husbands, predominantly, because we're men of the house. The rajula is in our hands. The strength should be with us. So we don't prevent them. But what do? We do damage limitation. We don't want to cut off the ties of kinship, of course, because these are her parents, and she loves them, and they love her. But because they're stuck in their ways, no, if you come to the house, we're not going to turn off the TV. I'm not going to your house. That's their problem now. I will come and visit you, but my children aren't going to watch those soap operas, and they're not going to watch those dramas, and they're not going to watch Netflix, and they're not going to watch, you know, music channels, and they're not going to watch Bollywood and Hollywood and whatever other wood there is out there. We're not watching it. They're not going to watch it. So when we visit, so the wife says to her mother and father, we will visit you because you are my mother and father and I love you, but I'm worried about the influence upon my children. So please don't smoke in front of them. And please don't put those, you know, those movies or dramas or whatever else, don't put them on. And we'll come and stay with you for 6-7 hours. We'll bring, you know, you can cook your food at home and take it to them, make them happy. It's a form of da'wah. But you don't burn yourself to save others. So you're not going to sacrifice your children in front of all of these false, you know, these corrupt influences just to give da'wah to others. You're not going to burn your children for that. So the issue of this, you know, being careful with in-laws or with your own parents, because it could be the other way around. Our own parents could be the bad influence and her parents could be the good influence. But whichever way it is, you are responsible to protect your wife and your children from bad influences. So if it means that you go with them and you set certain conditions, shurut, and they say, well, we don't agree to those shurut, say, well, what do you want me to do? I'm not going to come and sit in front of a 56-inch plasma watching dramas with you all day whilst, you know, just to sit with you for the sake of sitting with you. Or you can come to us. We'll send a car to you and they'll pick you up. You come to us, and now they're in your environment. So you have to, you know, you have to use a certain amount of diplomacy and, you know, use our aqal so as not to cut off the ties of kinship, but at the same time to prevent our children and our wives and even ourselves from being corrupted, and our, you know, aqidah or our thinking and our, you know, our belief being corrupted, or even our manners. We don't want our children coming back talking that rubbish. You know, your child comes back and he's talking about the movie that he watched at Baba's house or Granddad's house, and in this movie it was from Hollywood and he shot him, this is your son. You didn't raise your son to come back talking that garbage. You have to introduce a certain amount of damage limitation and protection. because in years to come you'll regret it. If you don't get it under control, you'll regret it in years to come. And then you're going to wish that you did say to your in-laws, you know what, as much as we would love to come to you, we can't. Not up until, we'll come and stay with you, but during our time that we're there, even if it's overnight, please no TV. Because TV is corruption. There's miniskirts and music. You know, illicit relationships. You know, and it's, you know, it's being beamed in through satellites and channels from all over the dunya. You know, these aren't just simple things, even adverts that come out. Even the adverts are filthy. And you know, the children's eyes, they soak up everything. The eyes, it hits the retina, goes into the brain through the optic nerve, and it's settled in their brains. And imagine you do that continuously to your children, what are they going to say? We want to go to, you know, Nana's house. Why do you want to go to Nana's house? I just want to go and visit Nana. Why do you want to visit Nana? Because Nana's got a 56-inch plasma. That's why. And they allow them to run riots. Right, so that's why your children want to go. So the more that your children get used to that type, because what are you giving them? Because, I mean, let's face it, they get up after Fajr, you make them do an hour of Quran. Not easy. And then you're disciplining them in the house. You have your good times, of course. They work hard and they play hard. It's good. Let them enjoy it. But when they go over there, it's nothing but corruption. So they get influenced and they keep wanting to go. So diplomacy is important. The strategy that you use when you're there. So it's always good that the husband takes his wife in a house where there is likely to be some corrupt influences, that the husband goes with his wife and goes with his children. And he says to them, or she says to them, I'm bringing my husband and my children, please, 1, 2, 3, we can't do it. So if you can, just, you know, for 6-7 hours, not use it, please. And 9 times out of 10, they'll accept, because they should respect your views. If they don't, then say, well, we can't. How can we come then? If someone invites you to a wedding, and in that wedding there is free mixing, and there is music, maybe they've got a band, because that's common now in a lot of weddings. You know, they freely mix because they think, you know, it's modern and liberal, and, you know, how cool are we that, you know, we mix. You know, your wife is talking to the guy next door, and, you know, whatever. And they think it's really cool because you're really modern when you do things like that. So now someone invites you to a wedding like that, what are you going to do? Go? You're not going to go. And your father may say, well, son, you're my son, you're not going to come. Say, Dad, how can I go? Segregate, follow the sunnah, follow the commands of Allah. Then I'll come. Well, if you don't come, I'm not going to talk to you. Say, Dad, I can't sacrifice my children. I can't sacrifice my principles. I can't sacrifice the book of Allah. I can't sacrifice my religion. It's Allah's deen. I can't compromise it. Just because you're beginning to threaten me now, I'm never going to talk to you. No, you can't. Sahaba were like that. The mother of Mus'ab ibn Umair. You know, when she said, he said, I'm going to follow, I've taken the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I worship none but Allah, and I follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was from a wealthy family. You know, from the most sought after bachelors of Mecca. You know, the women wanted to marry him because he was a young man. He was well dressed, a very wealthy family. But he became Muslim. And his mother said, well, it's a choice between him or me. Either you go with Muhammad or you stay with me. You can't do both. So he said, khalas, I'm going to Muhammad then. So he started walking towards the door. She said, where are you going? Where do you get those clothes from? Take those clothes off. They're from us. So he left the house of his mother with just his waist sheet, just his izar. This man who used to, you know, ride horses through Medina and wear the finest of garments and the best of fragrances. For the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look what he did. Either it's Muhammad or it's me. Said, I can't compromise. So he left. This same Mus'ab ibn Umair, who died at the Battle of Uhud, and there wasn't even enough garment to cover him. He covered his face, and his feet would be shown. They covered his feet, and his face would be shown. This is Mus'ab bin Umair, sacrificing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we're too scared even to say a kalima in front of our in-laws. And you don't have to be rude, you just be polite. That's all you have to do, is to be polite to them. We can't compromise. We can't come to weddings where you do that. You know, we're not going to do it. Because I'm not raising my children like that. Well, you know, what do you do with your children? Well, we have a lot of fun, alhamdulillah. We go out, we travel, we see beautiful scenery, we climb mountains, we travel countries, we go to the sea, we go fishing. What more do you want? That's what we do with our children. Why do my children have to sit down and watch a person dancing on stage before they're enlightened? That's enlightenment. So we have to be careful, barakallahu feekum, with regard to our families. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.